VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. I'd like to begin with a verse of scripture today found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. It says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" It was shocking to read that many veterans are committing suicide every single day, and the percentage being far higher than for non-veterans. We're going to be dealing with an issue today that's not been addressed before on Crosstalk: PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Our guest served as an Army chaplain and saw firsthand the trauma of war. He's compiled a lot of information to provide answers to the questions that are being asked today, such as, how does someone handle the grief experienced in combat? How does a spouse or other loved one handle the playing out of stress a combat veteran manifests when they return home? How does one deal with fear, with guilt, or a lack of peace? According to our guest today, psychology and drugs are not the answer. A New Age philosophy is not the answer, but the Bible holds the answers, which provide both help and hope. Joining us today, we welcome Wayne Keast, who was commissioned as a chaplain in the U.S. Army and retired after 23 years of service, having achieved the rank of major. Now serves with the Armed Forces Baptist Mission to help wounded warriors with PTSD to find Christ. He's the author of Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, Answers for PTSD, and Healing the Invisible Wound. Wayne, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity today.
I'd like to begin just briefly having you share your own story. You actually came from a broken, traumatized home yourself, so tell us about it.
Yes, I did. I was probably age 10 when my parents, after so many years of having the arguments and the different things that go on in a home that's breaking up, they were having troubles, and that trouble was spilling over into my situation and my brother. I had an older brother, and about 10 years old, they divorced, and there's been a struggle since that time. Found different issues and problems that I had growing up I didn't realize I had till a bit later. Anger issues and things like that, but it was it didn't get too violent too often. Let's just say it that way.
Mm-hmm. And you entered the Army then at age 18?
At 18, yes, I was looking for something to do with myself, and I had a friend of mine who I was working alongside after I graduated high school, and he said, "Hey, the Army could probably give you some direction." So I went that way, and yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. So how was your experience as an enlisted soldier?
Well, yeah, I started when I was 18 years old. I was in just making a private and making it the lower ranks. And this is 1977, and so it was just post-Vietnam. The Army and military itself was just going through those issues of guys that were having struggles with the whole Vietnam thing and all the rebellion and everything that went with that. And so barracks life, roommates, other people like that were they're going through trying to find themselves and using sometimes drugs and alcohol, different things. And it was quite an experience being in the barracks.
Mm-hmm. And so you served your time as an enlisted soldier and then left the military for a time?
Yeah, that's right. I was in for 3-year enlistment and decided I had enough of what I was experiencing. And got out for, I was out actually 4 years, and I went job and job and looking for things, looking for something to do with myself, and got married during that time, and so with that extra responsibility, I said, well, I've got to nail something down here. So I went back to the Army after about 4.5 years being out, and I did four more years of service, and at that time I was actually stationed in Germany. And I was stationed there, and I was having a guard duty experience at one of these midnight shifts in a guard tower watching Pershing missiles. And during the midnight shift, you have to watch your area, and not be distracted with anything. But one thing, they couldn't have television, radio, and anything to distract. But I was one thing I was able to have with me was the Word of God, and I had been actually studying and memorizing in the Book of Philippians at that time. And me and God had a bit of we had a kind of a solo church service, and so I was doing some scripture reading and some thinking about some songs, hymns I knew, and so I come down off the after the tour of duty I had that evening. I had made a commitment to serve Jesus Christ, and I'd already known him as Savior since I was 14 years old, but I had made a further, deeper commitment that time.
So tell us about your call then into ministry as an Army chaplain, because you didn't enter the Army to be a chaplain.
No, I didn't. I had no idea I was going to be going that direction. At that point, I had probably about 5 months left to go in my current enlistment, when God spoke to me about ministry. I didn't know what I was going to go in to do, but I sensed God was telling me to get into ministry. So I got back and talked to my pastor, who's a missionary over there in Germany, and he encouraged me to move on and get Bible college. So I got some of that, and at the time I was decided to go into the reserves when I was in college, and a friend of mine who was at the college with me, he was in pastoral studies, and he had the opportunity to start a chapel service for the soldiers on the weekends when we drilled. And I kind of was there and helped him out doing some things on the side. And he did his time, and he finished his degree, and he moved on. And there was a vacancy there. Not that it was really an actual position, but our enlisted soldiers, I was a sergeant. He was a sergeant. He got out. And they kind of looked at me and said, well, it's time for you to take over, isn't it? And I kind of look at him and said, well, okay, I guess I can do this. And I was looking at the opportunity. I was finishing my bachelor's degree, and I felt like I should go on and work on something else. So I went into a master's degree program. And about 3 or 4 more years went by. I was doing chapel services. And there was another chaplain that was in a different unit, just actually down the hallway from us. And he come by and said, I hear that you're doing some chapel services for your unit. Well, that's really good. And he said, you ever thought about being a chaplain? And I thought about it for a second, and I said, no, I haven't, but I'd open to that. I was considering it. I didn't know where exactly God was leading me. And I checked into it, find out what the requirements were, and as I was looking, I said, oh, a master's degree is required. Well, I guess I'm on my way then. Mm-hmm. And so I filled out the papers and came back and said, sure, come on in. So they, after I had finished my all the hours I needed to have, they accepted me, and they sent me off to training to be a chaplain. And I got to my first unit working with basic training, field artillery, basic training soldiers, and saw the issues and problems these guys were having and going through, and I said, these guys really need some help. But we went through that time and got stationed in Korea for a couple years, and then we came back to the States and put in a unit that was starting to go to Iraq. 9/11 had happened while I was in Korea, and they started sending people over there. And so I guess it was my turn. And when I got to Iraq, I saw things were going on, and we had some close calls. A couple of mortars and things were hitting kind of close to us, and I was working with medics pretty closely in my job. And I saw the pressures they were under, saw with the some of these guys are really being traumatized. Now, fortunately, we never had a death in our unit. I never had to do a memorial service. And so that was a blessing in itself. Mm-hmm. But some of these guys, they came home and they were highly traumatized. They had PTSD. And so when these guys are seeing the doctors and getting the medications and all things that are going on, I finally got around to where I got back from the deployment, and when I did, it was actually about a year after I got back that I was requiring some surgery, and the Army took pretty good care of me. Actually, they didn't have it had to do with my heart, and they didn't have the cardiologist guy that they needed to have to do it. So they sent me downtown Colorado Springs, away from Fort Carson, where I was stationed. And they fixed me up. And they put me into a, it's called a warrior transition unit. And it's basically long-term health care. I was in rehab after my surgery. And this unit I was put into for rehab, it was pretty new, only been around 4 or 5 months or so. They didn't have a chaplain on their staff. So the commander said, wow, I've got a chaplain as a patient. Maybe I can use him. Hmm. And so he come to me and said, tell you what, I'll give you an office, and you can talk to my guys. They need some spiritual guidance. And I not come across a commander that would actually thought along those lines before. Mm-hmm. Said, oh, you want to use me? Oh, okay. And so I started talking to guys, and I came across the ones with PTSD, and it really caught my attention. I had heard things on the side, you know, here and there before. But sitting down and talking to guys, and said, well, how are they treating you? How are they doing? And they said, well, we're not doing so good. What's the matter? Just not getting any better. And said, in fact, I think I'm getting worse. I said, how could you be getting worse? And the guys replied with, says, well, talk to the psychologist. They really don't have much to say to me. They don't know, experience the war and the trauma. They're not there to experience it. They're kind of hearing it secondhand. But I go over to see the psychiatrist, and they give out the drugs. Mm-hmm. And see the doctors, and said, these the medications are simply just blocking out my thinking. And I can't operate. I can't function. I neglect my family. I isolate. I'm having bad dreams, and that's what they're trying to remove all these thoughts from me by fogging me in. I can't think straight. So I can't function in life. I don't pay my bills. I get in trouble in the unit, and it's just not working. And that really got my attention. So I said, well, let me go do something here. I'm going to start opening my Bible and start seeing if I can find some things about PTSD. Now, the term in the Bible, it's not there in the Bible.
You're right. Doesn't exist. But,
no. But I did find some instances where we had some issues with King David, for one, really caught my attention. Now, he was called a man after God's own heart, but he is also a mighty warrior. And said, well, these warriors are having issues with PTSD, but he was a man after God's own heart. So I said, you don't see that combination too much in the Army. It's there sometimes, but not very often. Mm-hmm. And so I study it out, and I start looking in my Bible, and I said, okay, let's see. The experiences he had in war, God directed him to go fight the enemy and subdue them, and a lot of things happened in those wars. And I start reading through his Psalms, where he started pleading out to God for help. And I saw some amazing descriptions of his trauma that he was going through. I was convinced that King David had PTSD.
Tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're right up against a break. We're talking with Wayne Keast here today, who was commissioned as a chaplain in the U.S. Army, retired after 23 years of service, and talking about PTSD, biblical cures for the wounded spirit. What hope is there? What help is there? Well, folks, it's found in the Word of God. We're going to delve into this topic more in this next segment. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, before the fall of man, did animals suffer?
Chris, the Bible says at the end of creation week, things were very good. Things would live forever with no pain or death. With Adam's sin came the wages of sin. But evolutionists believe that animals lived and died long ago. In fact, the dinosaurs went extinct before man even got here. And yet some of them lived with great pain. A recent discovery of a T-Rex fossil shows this. This dinosaur was quite old when it died. Earlier, it had suffered a broken leg and broken ribs, which had healed. It lived in terrible pain. Now, I don't think that this pain is the result of creation. It's the result of sin. It's certainly not very good, as God pronounced his completed creation back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Wayne Keast is our guest here today on the program. Wayne was commissioned as a chaplain in the U.S. Army and achieved the rank of major and was serving in the military and came back, had some surgery himself, placed in this rehab wing, in which he started hearing the stories of various soldiers. And hearing the stories of soldiers and the lack of help that was really provided them drove him into Scripture. And as we stated here in the last segment, I've never seen the acronym PTSD in the Bible before, but Wayne, you found insight from God's Word on this matter. So tell us what you found.
Yes, as I was digging through the Scripture, I came across several psalms, and I'll just pull a couple of examples here. I was in Psalm 142, and I saw how David was handling his issues when he was coming across the problem with PTSD. Wouldn't call it that then. But he said in verse 1, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble, and my spirit was overwhelmed within me, and thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, had they privily laid a snare for me. I looked at my right hand and beheld that there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." As I was reading through that, and saying, well, I've seen David having some real issues and problems. And I also saw a little bit where in the middle of verse 4 it talks about, no man cared for my soul. Well, the Army, as best they try to do, they put together a program that deals with psychology and psychiatry, and they try to help the soldier out.
You call those counterfeit in your book?
A lot of the teachings are, actually, mm-hmm. They think they're doing well, but if you look at the statistics that are out there, the suicide rates just keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of issues now, things that just aren't being answered. But he says that the refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. Well, that's what the problem is, that the soul needs to be taken care of. And in the way the Army is treating it, well, the military as a whole, there's a lack of taking care of people as far as their soul goes. And I know from personal experience, in one of the units I was at, I had a commander tell me that I needed to talk to a soldier that was thinking of suicide, and that if I considered, after the discussion we had, if I considered him to be truly a possibility of wanting to attempt it, that I was not to, it was not my area to talk to him. I was to immediately refer him to mental health, talk to a psychologist, that is.
Hmm.
And so I kind of see where the rules, the protocol, how it all worked out. They say, if it's a suicide issue, then chaplain, you don't have a place there.
My.
You know, you give somebody else to look at. So that's what I found was really going on. And I'm going over to Psalm 143 quickly. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications and my faithfulness. Answer me in my righteousness. What I found interesting for David was that if he knew who God was, he didn't. He knew. He says, in thy faithfulness answer me, in thy righteousness. So he knew God would take care of the situation. He was faithful. He knew that in his righteousness, he was going to do the right thing. And so he says, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground and made me dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. And he goes on and talks about the spiritual issues that he's having. But he begins with, hear my prayer, O Lord. He starts with God and tells God about his issue and his problem. And he comes back down a few more verses and then brings God back into it saying, help me. You're the one that can help me. And so this is how David handled it. And, you know, he goes through his issues and his problems with one of the probably the most famous ones is Bathsheba and that incident there. I don't excuse David, but there are reasons why some of these guys do the things they do. And I'm thinking maybe David was staying away from the battle, probably should have been there leading it, but he's kicking back at the barracks, as it were, and he's having an R&R, and it allows him to have some times where he's maybe just having too much flashback, maybe, and it traumatizes him. He's looking for a way to you know, get it off his mind. And he went the wrong way. Obviously, went the wrong way with that one. But these guys are going through these traumatic experiences, and the advice that they're getting is not what they need.
Yeah,
they need to have the Word of God.
But what causes PTSD? I mean, what is that at its root?
Well, simply, it's it can get complicated. There's a lot of different things that cause it. Some people can come across an incident that just really, you know, it scares them. They feel like they're being threatened. Their life is on the line. Something that just really harms their psyche, shall we call it, their soul. And they get frightened of the possibility maybe that their life is being threatened. I found that guilt and fear are two main issues that soldiers are encountering when they get traumatized. They're fearful. They know, I'll go with the guilt first. They're feeling guilty. They know they've sinned. They can't maybe place it, don't just know just what they may have done, but they're feeling guilty. If there's a pressure on saying, I've done something wrong, and it's scaring me. The guilt hits them. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to get rid of it. And with that comes the fear, because there's innate sense within each one of us that one day we're going to have to go before God and answer, and the results are not going to be good. And between this guilt and this fear, that's a traumatizing thing for them. I've used examples before in different messages I've used. There was the Stonewall Jackson, you know, Civil War general, and he went through the Battle of Manassas, and he was out there directing traffic and controlling all the situations. The bullets were flying, the cannonballs were going, and he was just out there doing what he's supposed to be doing. And the battle was over, and all the officers come around him, and they said, one of the officers giving the status report on who's hurt and who's missing and all those different things that they have to know. And he says, General, I don't get it. You've been out there acting like, you know, just another day at the office, as it were, and said, you stayed calm and you stayed, you know, you focused and you did your job. How do you do that? And these guys are scared to death of being shot at and getting killed, and you're just out there doing your job. And he had a classic answer, I thought, and he said, I don't know the day of my death, but God does, and I'm well prepared to meet him. And I say that right there in itself, if you know God and you're prepared to meet him and you know that he's in total control and that he is going to cause you to get through the battle okay, or maybe die in this battle, but you put it all in God's hands, that removes a lot of fear, a lot of guilt, a lot of trauma. A lot of stress is removed when you do that. And by reading through the Psalms and seeing what David wrote, yeah, he keeps on leaning on God. He has his troubles. He has his issues. He's scared, but he's got God on his side. He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think, a real key issue right there.
Yeah, and in your book, Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, I mean, you indicate that having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is essential, and that Jesus Christ is really the key. The key resource to overcoming PTSD. I mean, there's a strong connection there.
Yes, there is. And in fact, toward the end of the book, I have a conclusion chapter, and I spoke about the idea of sanctification. The closer you are to God, the more that you realize he's sovereign, in complete control, and that if the time comes where it says, okay, I'm going to go into battle, and I'm going to take a bullet, and I'm going to die here on the battlefield, I know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And having that confidence and knowing that and having a strong relationship with God, like I said, it removes a lot of the stress. There's going to be stress. It's going to be. But a lot of it is removed in just that my sins are covered. They're taken care of. I don't have to answer for that. It's under the blood. And, yeah, they've experienced it. And I know some soldiers that went into battle, and they were good because they knew the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So okay, we've got no doubt those who are listening and saying, well, you know, my husband is suffering from this. He is a born-again believer, or those who are listening right now say, I am a believer, but I'm still wrestling with this PTSD issue. How can I actually gain victory over this?
Yeah, I've talked to some folks that are struggling with that, and different people are going to be struggling at different levels. And also some of the problem, it may be the I'm not putting down all medications and all drugs,
mm-hmm.
but when you're dealing with something stressful on the soulish level, and where the psychologist comes in and deals with how the brain functions and all,
mm-hmm.
the medications that are made for the whole idea of dealing with the stresses and the mental functions and how you're perceiving things, many of those pills that they're giving out, they are going to make things even worse for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you get to have something to get you over a rough spot, and that's understandable. But if you're just totally relying upon those, I've dealt with some guys who've had that, and they said, yeah, I was on this, and I did that, and it helped me for a little while, and then it got worse and worse, and now I'm addicted to them. Mm-hmm. I can't get off of them. They're giving me side effects.
Yeah.
I tell them, what you need is a really strong, heavy dose of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You get into some Bible preaching, and try to come down off the drugs. It's not always an easy thing to do. It's not easy because a lot of them are just very addictive, and they're very hard to do that. But there's a lot of help out there for people who are struggling with that, in that they can. I had told this one guy that he was having struggles with sleeping all night. He'd wake up. I said, what you do is about 15 minutes before bedtime, if you could sleep, when it was supposed to be bedtime, get a heavy dose of some scripture that is going to speak right to your issue. And you don't just read them. You meditate on it. You let it soak in. It's like putting an ointment over a bruise or a sore on the arm. You just rub it in. And you do that with scripture. And rub it into your soul, as it were. You meditate on it. We get kind of scared of the idea of meditation because over these years some of us have gone into the Eastern mysticisms and things. And there's a lot of so-called meditations, transcendental and other kinds. And the Army is now even recommending yoga to be used. And I studied that a little bit and put some of that in the book. And yoga can be a very dangerous thing. Yoga is quite often where you open your mind up to some very demonic influences. And it's dangerous. It's a type of meditation, but it's meditating on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you meditate on the Word of God, that's where the difference is made. And I told this one guy, he said, you've been meditating on the Word. It's helped a little bit. Well, try this. Okay, well, we'll try this after the break.
Okay, very fine. We are going to take a quick break here. Wayne Keast is our guest, Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, dealing with this issue of PTSD. We're going to have some more discussion between us, then we'll be opening some lines here shortly as well. So be formulating your questions for our guest today. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Do you take time daily to study the Word of God? Do you go through the Bible systematically and read with comprehension? Do you desire to learn more than what you have in the past? VCY America is offering a package set of 4 books by Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. These Bible study books provide a systematic approach to help you gain better understanding of the Bible. Included in this set is 90 Days Through the New Testament in Chronological Order, providing overviews, powerful insights, and personal application. 40 Days Through Genesis, discover the story that started it all. 40 Days Through Daniel, revealing God's plan for the future. And 40 Days Through Revelation, uncovering the mystery of the end times. These 4 books are available as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $49 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Don't let the lack of a Bible study plan keep you from daily devotions. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, dealing with the issue of PTSD. Our guest today is Wayne Keast, served as a military chaplain under the rank of major for a number of years, and now working with the Armed Forces Baptist Mission to help wounded warriors with PTSD. He's the author of Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, Answers for PTSD and Healing the Invisible Wound. We'll give you some information on that as well. Wayne, we're talking about things that many routes that people have gone to have tried this, psychology, have tried things, even different pharmaceuticals, and has taken people's mind, clouded it even further. You've talked about yoga here as well, and you've recommended that people really need to get a heavy dose of scripture and meditating of that scripture even before going off to bed at night. I know many deal with this issue of nightmares, even flashbacks. And your further thoughts on this issue?
Yes, right before the break, we were mentioning this thing about what things you meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meditation, getting scriptures that are going to be very relevant to your situation, Proverbs has a lot of good thoughts about those things. I was telling this one man, he said, well, you've done the scripture memory, you've done the meditation, something else that you might want to give it a try when those things weren't doing what he hoped they would. He said, you know, your mind is active and it's awake throughout the night hours when you're sleeping. Your mind is working through things. That's why a lot of people are having these nightmares, is that they're having traumatic experiences that the mind is trying to process and categorize, and, you know, you put it in the brain, and the brain has kind of like a filing system, as it were, and you try to put these different events and issues and things into kind of categorize and file them somewhere. And these things are, some of these thoughts they're having are so horrible, they come back, as it were, kind of a regurgitate, and it become back as a nightmare. And that's why these guys are having these problems. They can't seem to file this thing away properly. I said, what you do at night is, right before, like I said before, 15 minutes before bed, you do some meditation on scripture. I also told him that you take a MP3 or CD or whatever you have of the scripture, start playing scripture at night while you're sleeping.
Hmm.
Your mind will pick up on it. Your mind will start getting a healing process done to it while you're sleeping, while you're playing scripture. Now, if that's going to work with your, you know, you got a bed partner there, and your wife or husband is, you know, right there with you, and says it can be a little difficult to do, but you try to maybe. If some of them are probably even maybe not even able to sleep in the same bed because the one is having such problems with waking up and night terrors and different things.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to play scripture quietly, softly throughout the evening, I don't know one guy in particular. I recommended that to him. He said it worked wonders for him.
He's
been doing it for the past 6 months. No telling how long how many times he's gotten through the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just sleeping through it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do that in church, but this one, the mind is picking up on things, and it's working for them.
Wayne, I'd like you to address another big issue that's tied into all of this, and it's the issue also of anger. Could you address that matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of seen anger as a problem with, I wrote it down as a note, a side note in my book, and when I came across that, I was thinking, so, you know what really anger comes right down to is I'm not getting my way. We want to have our way, and when somebody comes along and, I don't know, somebody cuts in front of you on the highway or something, and they make it real close and you thought you're going to have an accident, or you're not getting along with the spouse, you're not getting along, you're disagreeing with something, they're saying. And the anger comes off as saying, this is what I feel, this is what I want, this is what I need to have, and you're in my way, you're not letting me get to it, and that's where those anger feelings begin to come up. And I think it's a matter of you finding those scriptures that talk about the anger issue, and reading those over and meditating on them and allowing God to speak to you about what the problem is. And it says, okay, this is why you got angry here. You are, that could be coming from issues that you grew up with, maybe a mother or dad that are having that same kind of problem. And you kind of learn it from them, maybe. But there's an issue there when you're dealing with, I want my way. You learn how to take on the mind of Christ and realize that, well, you know, there was things Jesus wanted to do, but he kept submitting to the Father and allowed the Father to have his way in his life. And if we become more Christ-like, those things will, I think, start to diminish, and we'll get over that.
Wayne, for those who'd like to get a copy of your book, and if, you know, in some ways we're just scratching the surface on the issue here today, but your book, Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, how can they obtain your book?
Right now, it's currently available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two main facilitators that are working on putting that thing out. So you can get it there. I think it's running about maybe $17.
Okay. Again, that's called Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit. We're opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you've got a question about PTSD, perhaps something our guest has mentioned here today, a matter that you're battling through at this time, our phone number to Crosstalk or a loved one, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Wayne, is there true hope for a person battling PTSD?
There certainly is. Scripture, I've been saying that all along, getting a firm grip on who God is, his sovereignty in your life, learning how to give him more and more of yourself, any drugs or issues, the things that you're relying on, that's going to be according to this, the world's philosophy, the psychiatry, the psychology, different methods they use in the Eastern mysticisms, mm-hmm. yoga, different things like that. Get into the Word of God, and the problem will get solved. God will start doing some healing and some mending.
Again, folks, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If this is a matter that you've been dealing with, you've got a loved one that's been dealing with PTSD, we welcome your phone calls here today, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Charlie calling in from Lodi, Wisconsin. Hi, Charlie. You're on the air.
Thank you both. This show's long overdue and well-received since I'm a combat veteran, Vietnam era with the Marine Corps. I went to anger management at the Veterans Hospital, about 12 guys, and I mostly went there to facilitate. I'm an ordained pastor. And out of the 12 guys, I was the only one not taking psychotropic drugs. Mm-hmm. I told them I would facilitate only if they let me give the gospel. And those guys were starved to hear something spiritual. Mm-hmm. I noticed that the eyes, Major, if you notice, they got the 1,000-yard stare. I see pictures in my old albums, and the light goes out. It's like a dead zone in their eyes. And divorce, these guys have been traumatized in ways I can't even say on the radio. And it's not one time, it's the whole tour of duty. And they have experienced things the church cannot begin to understand. Yet a lot of them had broken relationships for good reason. And the church really fails at this point because they just throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't think a lot of these people would last 2 weeks in a combat zone.
Well, Charlie,
thank you again for your show. Appreciate it.
Thank you so very much for your call. He brought up a good aspect here, even of the church's response to this. Is the church equipped? Is the church responding to this area of PTSD?
Sadly, they're not responding very well. I think that's probably they're a bit scared of the whole scenario. These guys have come back from war, and there's this kind of a standoffishness they get. Because I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how to answer this. And I haven't come across where I've been in some churches where I've spoken and so I didn't know whether the pastor had been or not. I've heard of some situations where it happened, but the pastor would actually refer them to a psychologist.
Hmm.
And he said, well, I don't know if the Bible has any answer for this. And so they would just simply refer them out. And that's the way we've gone now. Some of the background I've been reading about psychiatry and psychology, it goes back before the World War I. It goes back to the late 1800s when it started to come about. And it's something that society has come more and more relied upon. About that time, 1800s, the word of God was highly questioned, was criticized, was thought to be not God's word at all, and so other things came in to take its place. Mm-hmm. And when psychology and psychiatry began coming into the mainstream, then that's people were started to go in that direction. And we see where it's gone. Like I said before, the suicide rates, they're way up.
Let's go to Larry.
They haven't come down.
Let's go to Larry in Phoenix, Arizona. Larry, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Larry Hellman. And I was in the Navy for about 12 and a half years. But I got in right at 1973 time frame, and I missed Vietnam. But what I learned is when I have trouble sleeping, and what I do is I memorize the Nicene Creed. It begins with, I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things that are seen and unseen. Mm-hmm. And it goes through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the afterlife, what it's going to look like. So I just thought that that has served me well for the last 15 years, and let's share it and let somebody else do it.
Thank you, Larry. Your comments here, Wayne.
Yeah, that's and some of these creeds have a lot of scripture content. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend the Bible itself, but within some of these creeds, there are scripture. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Lord didn't even use that, yes.
Because the Bible holds that which pertains to life and godliness, and certainly that will be a help to us. Let's go to Willie, who's calling next. Hi, Willie, you're on the air.
How you doing, Jim?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, Jim, I was just thinking that the military, during the Gordon Klingenschmitt trial, they was telling the soldiers that they couldn't read the Bible. And so now, if you can't read the Bible, you're going to be terrified of what you're doing. Hmm. So the soldiers do need Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Willie, for that. We're just 40 seconds from the break, so let me get your comment on this, Wayne, because we are seeing this in many fronts where chaplains are prohibited in some regards from really sharing their heart or not to address certain topics or you know, we've seen the battle that's going on to purge the any kind of religion out of the military. That's where the answer really is, though. It's in the Word of God. That is imperative.
Yes, and one sad point to make about that, if they were to go to a chaplain and seek some help and some counsel biblically, you're probably dealing with only less than 10% of the chaplains are saved and even believe the Bible.
Mm.
That's sad in itself.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you got people up there, they don't believe the stuff to begin with. They're playing through the system. They're going to go into making rank and getting position and start taking charge of the chaplaincy. That's what they're going to pass on to others.
Wow. Well, friends, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829, PTSD, Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many Americans wonder, how is it that communism has been so successful in America, penetrating so many of our government agencies to the point we refer to them now as the deep state? Reality is that Moscow in 1960 released a document to their comrades worldwide calling for war on the anti-communist groups. Anti-communist groups like the John Birch Society and anti-communist individuals like Ronald Reagan or John Wayne. These people were particularly targeted because the communists in Moscow knew they were having great influence. Then the FBI had their hands tied after liberal Frank Church, U.S. Senator, held hearings in 1975 on our intelligence agencies. As a result, the Levi guidelines, named after Attorney General for Gerald Ford, were released that tied the hands of the FBI from investigating the communist.
B- Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, our topic today, dealing with PTSD. Wayne Keast is our guest, serving for a number of years as a military chaplain and dealing with this matter of PTSD. Just before we pick up our next call, I know, Wayne, that there are other resources or people say, hey, I really would like to follow up further with you. You even have some gospel tracts that are available on your website that people can download. If they know somebody dealing with PTSD, they can download them free and pass them out. So give us a website, if you would.
Yeah, the website there is BibleCuresForPTSD.org.
Mm-hmm.
And on that site, there's a place where it says tracks. You can download 5 different tracks that I've written, and those can be printed off, and you can make as many as you want. One talks about what makes the difference in PTSD recovery, and in that I get into a little bit about how the things that the military are currently doing, how it's not quite doing everything it could, and the Bible is the actual cure. Another one has to do with PTSD and resolving fear. We talked about the fear earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Also one about resolving guilt. And then I have one about I entitled it, Got Peace? ? And it has to do with just getting peace with God.
Folks, the website, mm-hmm. BibleCuresForPTSD.org, BibleCuresForPTSD.org. Our mm-hmm. lines have all filled up here. Let's go to Elizabeth in Tennessee. Go ahead, Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Yes. Jesus is the answer for these precious souls. Mm-hmm. How can you Amen. Get addresses to send the gospel to these poor souls? Thank you, and God bless.
How is it that you can minister to those with PTSD?
Like, get addresses so you can send the gospel to them.
Okay.
Like, in a tract form, or a Gospel of John little booklet, or songs, or mm-hmm. scripture. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I've sent these tracts on my website, and they can be printed. If you know someone that needs that help, print as many as you need of something and send it to them, and that's perfectly fine. There's no charge for that.
Yeah, and Elizabeth, you may check. You probably have to look locally, those within your church, or look from your community organizations that may have a listing of military members and could begin there. Brent in Racine, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, you're on the air.
I completely agree with what you're saying. I spent 13 years in the Army. I've got 4 tours, 2 to Iraq and 2 to Afghanistan. On my 3rd deployment, I was dealing with fear before I even left. It was my first one to Afghanistan. I was a sergeant and had some soldiers underneath me. And before I deployed, I was distancing myself from my wife and my kids, but I made up my mind that I was going to spend time every morning waking up, reading the Word, praying, and focusing on the Lord. And I was trying to do a Bible study with my wife through Instant Messenger from over there, and I said we'd start in Matthew 1 and then do a chapter, and then when we both had a chance to read it, we would talk about it. And some time went by. I mean, you know, the spouses are basically single parents while we're away. So she was super busy. I would normally read a chapter. It would normally take a week or two for her to read one. And we had made it all the way up to Matthew 6. And, I mean, I remember walking off the plane and looking up at the mountains in Bagram, Afghanistan, and going, this is where I'm going to die. And so one day I had gone to sleep. I was working second shift. A couple hours later, I was shaken awake by a rocket that landed just a couple hundred feet from where I was sleeping. And so I checked on all my guys, reported in, everything was good, but it took a little while to go back to sleep. Finally fell asleep. When I woke up in the morning, I was like, all right, I have to keep moving forward. I can't stop. Like, mm-hmm. I have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, you know, all right, I'm going to reread Matthew 6. I had just read it a few days earlier, but I wanted it to be fresh in my mind so that if my wife and I had a chance to talk about it, you know, it was fresh. So I started reading through there, and I was reading in the ESV at the time, and I got to Matthew 6:27, and instantly when I read that, the Lord took all my fear away, because it says, and whom of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life?
Yeah.
And instantly it was gone. I was now walking outside and looking at the same mountains that when I walked off the plane, and was like, this is where I'm going to die. Now I was looking at them and going, those are beautiful. That is the Lord's creation. Even though I'm surrounded by all this mess, like, they're beautiful. And it just completely changed my perspective. And I mean, that was my third deployment. I had one more after that, and on my fourth deployment, we had a...
Brent, to tell you what, we got a lot of people lined up behind you in just 2 minutes left, but thank you for sharing that, and the power of the Word of God. You just bore testimony how that impacted your life.
Yeah, it has, and I've been able to share that with others, mm-hmm. and just the testimony that I have through that, like, it is completely the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. Yeah. It is how His Word is living and breathing and changes based on, like, the meaning doesn't change, right. but as our present, like, situation changes, that same passage could have a different meaning. Because a couple days earlier, before the attack, it had one meaning, and then when I read it, it was so living and just completely took all of that fear off my shoulders.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you for sharing that.
Nothing to add to that. That was good.
Amen. Bill in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I just had a question about, y'all were speaking about the medications earlier, and with dealing with people that have been taking medications for a number of years, and it seems as if their minds and their character is almost gone, do you have any advice as to dealing with them and getting them off the medication and just on the Word of God?
Thank you, Bill, for that. And Wayne, we've got 60 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I don't give advice as far as getting off a medication. I say you go back to your doctor. He put you on it. He should take you safely off of it, because sometimes removing yourself from a medication can do some strange things just about as bad as getting on it. So you get back to the doctor, said, doctor, get me safely off the stuff, and then do that. And then it's the saturation of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do. You got to have a replacement.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Robin in Monticello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to thank you for taking my call. Anyway, I was in Vietnam in the infantry, and I went through all this medication. I went through PTSD and the VA and all the treatment, but they never told me anything about the Bible.
Yeah.
And I got lucky and went back to church and looked in the Sunday school lesson, and there was a little verse there to read every day, like a daily devotional.
Yep.
And God loves you, and that's the main thing.
Amen. Amen. And I'm sorry to have to cut you right there, but the theme is playing and we're out of time. Wayne Keast is our guest today. Folks, if you want to follow up further with him, BibleCuresForPTSD.org. His book is entitled Biblical Cures for the Wounded Spirit, available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble as well. And Wayne, thank you so much for being with us here today and putting this into print to be a help to many.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the time.
Great. And stay in line here for a moment, if you would. Friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.